It was supposed to be a clash of the Titans as the Green Bay Packers faced the Denver Broncos on national television Sunday night, but it was instead a one-sided affair, dropping the Packers from the ranks of the undefeated. To find out what went wrong, we'll be joined by 24/7 Sports insider Luke Rogers. It's all coming up on Railbird Central next. Railbird Central at 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. I'm your host, Brian Caravu. We're talking some Packers football this morning. We're dissecting a loss to the Denver Broncos, so maybe it's not a good morning, but it's a morning nonetheless. To take a look back at this game, we have us joining us on the phone today in what will become a monthly engagement, so we're excited about that. We welcome onto the show Luke Rogers. Of course, you know him as Aaron Rodgers' brother. He's also now the 24/7 Sports insider. Luke, welcome to the show.
Brian, thanks for having me.
No
pleasure
problem.
To be on the show. I'm a sporadic listener.
Good, fantastic. Well, yeah. You joined us once before, prior to the NFL draft, when you were working with the Duke quarterback, and we were great to. It was great to have your insight back then, and great to have your insight now. And you know, before we even get into this, I'm sure you know Packers Nation is going to wonder: have you talked to Aaron Rodgers since last night's game? Because I think they're just going to draw that conclusion.
No, I haven't.
I didn't figure you had, but I want to get that out of the way. So we're not getting like some inside information here, but I think we can get your insight and background as a quarterback and shed some light into this game here. Before we even really get into the Packers' shortcomings in this one, let's take a moment to give credit to this Broncos defense, which might be the league's best. You know, Luke, what makes this defense so good?
You know what? I think it's a really simple formula. You know, Wade Phillips, loves to, you know, put pressure on the quarterback. I think it was pretty easy to see last night that they wanted to match up with our guys, with our receivers and kind of dare Aaron to throw to his first read, all the while putting a ton of pressure on the quarterback. I mean, football, playing defense is really a simple thing, Brian. I think if you can, you know, move the quarterback off his spot and off his read, make him look at the pressure instead of down the field, then you're creating a little bit of chaos in the backfield, and you're gonna create some plays for yourself, and oftentimes turnovers. I know that Aaron didn't turn the ball over last night, other than the fumble. As far as interceptions, didn't turn it over, but we. You know, they play really, really solid defense. They dared us, you know, to line up toe to toe with them. I want to say us to the Packers. They're the Packers to line up toe to toe. And, you know, I'd say across the board, they just won their one-on-one matchups. Tough to win a game as an offense when your receivers aren't getting open. Your quarterback's under duress. I believe 63% of Aaron's dropbacks, he was pressured. You know, they do a good job of winning their one-on-one matchups, and that's what you want to do when you play football.
I think people watch this game and they see, you know, perhaps more than anything, the Packers really struggled to move the ball downfield in the passing game. You know, they completed some short passes here and there. But again, from your quarterback perspective, what made it so difficult for Aaron to find success downfield last night?
Well, I think it's a combination of a few things. Aaron didn't play well at all. He missed some shots that he had down the field. So you know, love giving the defense their due, but I think Aaron really had a clunker, if we're going to be honest, on his performance. But, you know, it's a combination of things. Brian, I think if anybody has spent time watching the Packers, I think, at least from my standpoint and kind of, you know, just having, all these games, you know, watching every weekend and kind of dissecting for myself and then also for 24/7 Sports, I think the Packers are just very, very poor at making adjustments in game, especially. I think oftentimes, and this is going to be just my opinion here, obviously, I think the Packers line up and expect their guys, you know, to win a one-on-one matchup. And, you know, oftentimes instead of possibly scheming, I think last night when the Broncos kind of made it clear they're going to bring pressure and they're going to bring pressure up the middle, the Packers never got out of sort of long developing deep routes. There were no slants. There was a couple screen plays that were thrown in there, so we'll give them that. But there weren't any real, in my mind, there wasn't an adjustment made to make any real first read, you know, looks. Like, in order to get the ball out quick, to beat the pass rush. Instead, it was, you know, Aaron dancing around there trying to make time for himself while we had receivers that weren't able to get open, that were running long, you know, running long routes, long stems, you know, 8, 10, 12-yard stems down the field, which, you know, you want to take your shots, but when your quarterback's under duress and the defense has made it clear they're bringing pressure, it's you got to get the ball out, and you got to make adjustments. I feel like maybe I'm, you know, on both sides of the ball. We haven't got to the Packers defense yet, but I just feel like over the course of the last, you know, you fill in the blank, however long during the Mike McCarthy and Dom Capers era, I feel like the adjustments that are made in game, offense and defensively, either aren't there or they're poor. So if we're not lining up and beating our guys, or if the defense is working something against the offense that isn't work, that, you know, that is causing chaos and causing the offense not to work, I just felt like there wasn't that adjustment that wasn't made. Packers were bailed out by a couple penalties, a couple decent running plays, but other than that, like, they, you know, they ran a reverse to Cobb. There was one series of Randall Cobb set. Went to the backfield, and I think they tried to mix it up, but there wasn't. I don't feel like there was a concerted effort from a coaching standpoint, or even from a quarterback standpoint, to put themselves in an advantageous position to sort of beat the pass rush and the pressure that was really, really causing all that duress. So that would have been short patterns, screen plays, draw plays, those kind of things that just never got going, Brian.
From a wide receiver perspective, the Packers really, you know, kind of struggling, not just this game, a few games now, but what can we put our finger on? Is it injuries? I mean, Randall Cobb, James Jones, Devontae Adams, that they've all kind of worked with the injuries. Is it a lack of speed? Is it missing Jordy Nelson to take pressure off others? What's going wrong there with the Packers receiving core?
I think you nailed some of it there. I think the deeper we get in the season, we're realizing, you know, how much Jordy really meant to the offense, especially the passing game. That there's a comfort level for Aaron and Jordy. It's pretty obvious if you watch any game, that's kind of, you know, that's Aaron's out. If things fall apart, Jordy's going to be on the same page. Jordy's coming back to the ball. And I think you kind of take that for granted until it's gone. Jordy also gives you the ability to stretch the field. You know, watching the game last night, and even watching Devontae run around, he just didn't look, definitely didn't look 100%. You know, I don't think he looked explosive. Even running his routes, didn't look crisp. You know, and then the pressure ends up piling on Randall. And Randall Cobb is a great slot receiver. You know, and I think a lot of his opportunities during the season come off the fact that that he ends up in an advantageous matchup. If Jordy's on the field, Jordy usually takes the number one corner on the outside. And for the most part, a slot receiver will get the third or fourth corner from a defense, which you always take that matchup for Randall Cobb. With Jordy out, you've got Randall really as your number one, and defenses are keen on that. So if you're not able to move Randall around, he has been banged up. I think he looked more healthy than he has in the last, you know, 3 or 4 weeks last night. But, you know, the defense is keen on Randall Cobb as your one, and your one threat in the passing game. You know, they're going to try to take that away. And I think the Broncos did a great job of doing that. I think Ty Montgomery, when he's healthy, he gives you kind of some explosiveness that the defense has to be worried about. But when he's not there, Devontae wasn't in himself. Richard Rodgers is a fine tight end, but never going to beat you in a foot race. I know that there was not a lot of openings for Aaron to throw a ball to an open receiver. And there was a few, and he missed them. And it was a comedy of errors, Brian. It's one of those things where I feel like most anything that could have gone wrong did go wrong. And then in light of that, there were just a serious lack of adjustments from a coaching standpoint.
Yeah, it is a weird situation that we're talking this morning. I mean, because we're talking about the worst Packers loss in quite a while. They typically don't look this poor. Aaron didn't have a ton of time to throw, and several times, you know, couldn't even step into his throws. But you had to kind of expect that coming into the game with such a good pass rush from the Broncos. So I guess my question is, how do you combat that, knowing you're not going to get much time in the pocket? How should you combat that offensively?
Well, you've got to take that away from the defense, and you know, and that's about scheming, and that's where I really think, in some ways, the Packers fell flat last night was. It just, you know, especially off a bye week, Brian, it was surprising to me to see, to feel like maybe they hadn't schemed game planned as well as I would have hoped coming in against an undefeated team, and you know, knowing they had a great defense and knowing they had a great pass rush. Maybe that's what was most surprising, is that oftentimes when you get a healthy pass rush, what you're going to see is a good dose of screens, draws, and you know, quick developing plays to offset that pass rush. That didn't happen. Didn't happen at all. Maybe I can think of two screen plays possibly that they ran, you know, the Packers ran, but you know, you're looking at getting slants out at running. You've got to run right back. You've got to attack that defense the way it's attacking you. So you can mitigate that threat. And with a pass rush, it's moving the ball out quick. It's about taking advantage of that team overplaying, you know, its edges, and you know, when they're bringing pressure up the middle for, you know, a middle screen. And I feel like the Packers fall into a lull offensively often. And this has been the case, is that there aren't adjustments made scheme wise. It feels like watching this game, at least from my standpoint, that the Packers just think they're going to line up their players against the defensive players, and they're going to make a play. And sometimes that happens, and it has happened in the past, but at some point, schematically, I feel like you've got to attack and mitigate what's working for the defense. And that just didn't happen last night, like in any shape or form. Even on the defensive side of the ball, how many times did we see the middle of the field wide open, no matter what, you know, the Packers seemed to run or whatever defense was called? Demaryius Thomas was in the middle of the field wide open, and over the course of the game, that wasn't taken away. I mean, it just seemed like, at least from my standpoint, across the board, there was poor play and just a real lack or ability to schematically adjust or from a coaching standpoint. And, you know, coaches don't play, and I get that. The players played poorly. But in some ways, I felt like they could have been put in better positions to succeed had there been, you know, some different plays called an offense and possibly some different schemes run on defense. And so, you know, we would sit here, Brian, on a Monday and be, you know, Monday morning quarterbacks and armchair coaches and all that. But the Broncos played a great game. Peyton Manning didn't look like the Peyton Manning from the weeks before. And that's a little disconcerting too. I'm sitting here watching the game from a defensive standpoint, thinking we gave up 500 yards to Phillip Rivers. And as much as the defense has been applauded this year so far, they're giving up a ton of yards. And you give a ton of yards to Peyton Manning that up until this last game had been a shadow of himself. And that's a big concern, I think, moving forward. Like, you can't give up 500 yards on offense. Maybe you can give it up to Phillip Rivers, but you're coming to a game with a guy that's thrown 7 touchdowns and 10 interceptions regardless of his pedigree. against some probably pretty terrible, not great competition. If you look at the games leading up to the Packer game, the Broncos won, and the Broncos set a bunch of PRs in this game. That's got to be concerning for the Packers. They scored for the first time all season in the first quarter. Peyton Manning had, more yards, by 150 almost of yards than he averages in a game. There's all these benchmarks that they set in this game, and frankly, the Packers are a better team than that than to give up those kind of things, and then to break their streak of not scoring in the first quarter for the first time in 22 games. For Aaron to throw for less than 100 yards, these are all just, if we had the sports almanac from 2015 and in Back to the Future 2, and we've gone back, it'd be hard to believe that actually, if you're looking ahead, thinking actually it's going to happen. And then, the game was shocking, to say the least.
We're talking to 24/7 Sports insider Luke Rogers here at a Monday morning on Railbird Central on 24/7 Sports and Cheesehead TV. Luke, to delve into this a little bit further here, it seems so many people assumed Peyton Manning would struggle just because that's what he's largely done this season coming into this game. Was it a surprise to you to see him have arguably one of his best games of the year?
I would say yes and no. I think based on his track record this season, I expected the Packers to take the ball away. And Randall had a good interception, really, that didn't matter for much toward the end of the game. But the Packers have really made their living as a defense and sort of being bend and not break and then taking the ball away. And Manning having come in, leading the league in interceptions, it was an expectation that that would continue. I'm never surprised by Peyton Manning. I actually was texting some friends last night before the game saying that I had a feeling Peyton was going to go off. I mean, he's coming off a week of preparation. As much as we like the pundits and the media and Chris Collinsworth and everybody on TV love to talk about the exotic defenses the dumb throws out there, I don't think every week there's something that the Packers show on defense that hasn't been shown before. And that being said, if we've got Peyton Manning coming into this game and he's legendary for his preparation, I really feel like he was ready. His noodle arm and all, you're talking about how he can't throw the ball on the field. It didn't matter. Like he was ready. He knew where the Packers were going to be vulnerable. And, that's where he went. And I think it showed. It was hard to watch, our pass rush not get there all night. And that was a huge thing. It was Peyton Manning, him not being, a mobile guy, even though he had a couple bootlegs last night where he looked pretty good, maybe as fast as he's run in a long time. But he, not a mobile guy. You got to move him. Clay said it before the game in his pregame interview. You got to move him off the spot. And the Packers just didn't move him off the spot. And it didn't get home. And it was unbelievable to me, especially watching, the previous six games and Mike Daniels and Clay Matthews and, Jerome Elliott, these guys get into the quarterback and make him plays. And for them not to get there, it says a lot about the offensive line for the Broncos. And the patchwork offensive line they put together played very well. But if you don't get to the quarterback and don't pressure the quarterback, this is the NFL. Peyton Manning, he may be 39 years old, but he's gonna beat you. And across the board, for the most part, Brian, if you let an NFL quarterback sit back there and really not get touched all game, they're gonna have a hard time winning. And the flip side of that coin is watching what happened to the Packers on offense. And Aaron was under duress all game, didn't play well, the offense didn't play well, and that's a key part of playing defense is getting to the quarterback. Making him do, making him either get the ball out before he wants to or have to move off of his reason, off of the spot and, move his eyes from downfield. And that's what the Broncos did to the Packers. The Packers did not do to the Broncos. So I expected Manning to play a lot worse than he did, but I think my expectation also was that the Packers would play much better on defense. They would get to Manning, and they'd throw some things at him that he hadn't seen, and I don't think either of those things happened. So,
from a Packers perspective, How worrisome is it that the secondary is finding a hard time to match up with receivers like Demaryius Thomas? And you go back the week before that, they Keenan Allen really kind of exploded on the Packers. What's your level of worry that they can't contain these guys?
Well, you've got to be worried, Brian. It's disconcerting. I mean, Phillip Rivers, 500 yards. We go back to that's the last game that they came into before this, and then you have Peyton Manning. Put the numbers he did. It's concerning. It's concerning that there's a breakdown in coverage. The guys are getting beat in their one on ones. And as the season progresses, when it comes down to the postseason, and all things equal, I think a lot of us expect the Packers to be there in the postseason, considering their start. But when you come to those games and you're playing really good teams, like the Packers played a really good Broncos team and probably the best defense in the league, and some great offensive players in Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, some good receivers and a good quarterback, you've got to be able to win your one-on-ones. And the Packers just aren't. They gave up, a ton of yards last night. They gave up a ton of yards against the Chargers. And they're going to have to figure out their identity. I know that there was a lot said in the first, four or five games about how good this defense was playing and how the strength of defense is secondary. And I read the same articles and I heard the same single talking about it. And, the last two games, it's been quite the opposite. I think part of it is, especially last night was the inability to generate a pass rush. Those things really are connected. You can't cover a receiver for a real long time, even if you're Darrell Revis or Aqib Talib. It's tough to cover a guy, for 5, 6, 7 seconds. And that's where you need a pass rush to get in. So the Packers have got a lot of things to look at this week. And one is, how they're going to generate pressure when they're not getting it and what kind of adjustments do you make. And the second is, what are they going to do with the secondary? And I know that Sam went down early last week, and that hurts to have your number one corner or go down in the game, fairly early. But, the NFL has always been, a next man up. The Packers know that. They won a Super Bowl, and, with probably one of the more injured teams that they've had in a long time in 2010. And, these guys have to step up. There aren't excuses. These guys all belong in the NFL, and they've got to do their jobs, and everyone's got to do better. And I think that, I also think in retrospect, this isn't a terrible time to have a loss. It's, you're trying to find a silver lining. I think it's a good time of the season to have a wake up call and to regroup. And, I think they can. They just got to make some adjustments, and that's going to be an interesting thing to watch when they come out, next week. So.
Yeah, certainly a loss to an AFC team is not as, devastating as it would be, a week from now when they played the Carolina Panthers, and that'll affect seeding in the playoffs a lot more. So I guess you can look at it as a silver lining from that. We've dwelled a lot here on the negative. If we talk about a few positive things, where would this Packers defense be without Clay Matthews? Because there was a glimpse of that last night while he briefly exited the game with what appeared to be a minor injury. Doesn't appear to be anything major, but they really looked bad when he wasn't out there. But he's able to provide a spark when he is in there.
Yeah, they'd be in a world of hurt if Clay was unable to play. We did see that last night. I think it just speaks to a problem that was, I think, patchworked instead of fixed. I really feel like the Packers had an opportunity in this last offseason, even in the draft, to grab an inside linebacker. And with AJ moving on and heading to Cincinnati, I know that the experiment of moving Clay to the middle really helped with the run defense this last year. But, what makes Clay great is when you move him around. So if you're moving him around or he's not in the game, and I think we saw that when he went out and that, C.J. Anderson got to the second level, our inside linebacker talent isn't that great. I mean, I feel like Palmer was really got exposed last night, not only in the run game but in the passing game. I know that the Ryan was brought into play a bit, and then you know, Joe Thomas came in for Clay when he was out. But those guys aren't the playmakers that Clay is. That they don't have the motor, you know, and the athleticism and the nose to the football like Clay does. And so if Clay isn't able to go like he wasn't able to go for four or five plays last night, this defense is in a much, much worse place, because that second level really is where Clay has made his living this season. Mike Daniels has done a great job up front. DJ Rogers having a real good season up front as well as Dayton Jones. But if a back is getting to the second level, that's really where Clay's been great. Besides making plays behind line of scrimmage, but if he's not in there, I think it's pretty evident that there's a lack of playmakers that sit behind Clay in the depth chart. There's a lack of, I'm not going to say ability, because those guys do belong, but they're just not at that level. And I think that something could have been addressed in the offseason, and Ted decided to go the other way and go with, you know, draft Randall in the first round, when all of the top rated inside linebackers were on the board. So they were, I guess at that point they were confident with what they were doing and how they were scheming and keeping Clay in the middle. But, you know, at some point there's gotta be more than a stopgap there. The Packers got to figure out what they're going to do. And you know, Clay's great because you can play him on the end, and you can move him from the left to the right and put him back in the middle, and you don't know where he's going to be. But who takes care of the middle when Clay's not there? And that's, I think it's something they've got to address in the coming weeks.
Yeah, not even this past NFL draft. About the past two or three, they really haven't addressed that position, and it does look a little bit worrisome, at least from a depth standpoint, if nothing else. I want to get your thoughts on one more issue here. There was a lot of attention on Eddie Lacy this past week. Mike McCarthy was constantly questioned about his weight and conditioning. Did Eddie Lacy kind of put those concerns to rest a little bit? I know it wasn't his best game ever, but, you know, he bulldozes a guy into the end zone. He has a few long gains. Is he looking a lot better?
Yeah, I think Eddie was dinged up, and I know that people want to make an issue out of Eddie's weight when he came in, and he put that to rest pretty early. But I was looking at the numbers this week, and Eddie's been a second half of the season guy since he's been with the Packers, and he's really turned it on. And I think credit to Edgar Bennett and to Mike McCarthy. I think they're really trying to keep Eddie fresh, and at the same time give James Starks opportunities. I think Eddie looked fine last night. I think it looked good. I think that he had some good runs. I think the offensive line really struggled yesterday, not only in the pass protection, but also in the run protection. I think they got beat, you know, early and often by that front seven in Denver. And, you know, with Eddie, there weren't a whole lot of holes all that often to run through. And when he did, I think he looked explosive. There's a couple times he ends up being a patient runner. I think sometimes as a fan, you'd like to see him put his foot down and get north-south sometimes instead of bouncing everything. But that's just kind of how he does things. It didn't always work against the Denver front seven. Von Miller and DeMarcus Ware, those guys really set a good edge. It's tough to get outside against them. So, I think that's a non-issue. I think there was stories being made out of no story. I mean, Eddie's a big back. He's been a big back. I remember when he came in talking to Aaron, and Aaron saying he looked a little chubby or this or that. But I just think that's Eddie's body. It doesn't affect how he runs. He's still got burst. And I just think the ankle was more serious than people thought. If they're not classified as a high ankle sprain, I think people assume it's something you can tape up and get back in. But, you know, anybody who's played anything knows that there's a myriad of levels of sprained ankles. I've had some really bad ones myself, and had some mild ones that you can kind of just, you know, put a brace on and tape up. And so he looked like himself. I'd say the concern level is pretty much zero there. I'd be a lot more concerned with the play of the offensive line. and you know some of the scheme and play calling choices on the offensive side before I'd be concerned about Eddie Lacy.
All right. If we look into the crystal ball here, I know it's now the next game's a week away here, but what do you see from this Packers team going forward? Of course, they have the huge game next week against the Carolina Panthers and Cam Newton, and I think that'll be heavily scrutinized just because it's two very good teams in the NFC. But where, how do you see the Packers responding from this loss?
Well, I think they've got to. I think they come out and they look more like the Packers that we're used to watching next week. I feel like the Packers, minus this last game, have been ripped out against the run. Carolina is a big run team between Cam and Jonathan Stewart. They are lacking in playmakers at the receiver standpoint. Ted Ginn's really having a resurgence season for himself. But other than Greg Olsen, they don't have a whole lot going on as far as down the field. Devin Funchess is not a bad option, but he's a rookie. And Cam hasn't been overly accurate. I know he's having statistically he's having one of the worst passing seasons of his career. I hate to rest any kind of laurels on that, considering Peyton Manning just came in having statistically his worst seasons in this rookie year and had a great game against the Packers. The Packers just need to shore up some things. And, I think it's probably time to get the no huddle going early on offense. They've got a great defense in Carolina, so it's not by any means going to be anything too much different than what we saw in Denver. They might have one of the best corners in the league right now in Carolina. And Josh Norman, and I mean, he definitely had one of the best seasons. He's probably made a Pro Bowl for himself. So it's a tough test. It's another game that they're going to have to kind of use as a measuring stick for where they really are this season. And I expect the offense is going to come out and play much better than they did this last game. I think you're probably allowed one clunker a year, and let's just hope that was the one clunker for the offense. The defense has got to get healthy. Sam's got to get back, and they just got to figure out what they're going to do against the pass because Brian, there's a serious problem that I think we're seeing, and their inability to one stop the pass, in the last three weeks here with Rivers and Manning, and Cam Newton can throw the ball. He's not having a great season, but as we saw in Denver, the Packers defense was spotting Peyton in the offense some PRs for the season, and just hope that doesn't happen again. I think the Packers bounce back and win. Personally, I think that they win and it's a close game, but they've got to get Eddie going. They've got to get Randall Cobb going. Randall Cobb has disappeared in this offense, and I know there are people trying to take him away, but we've got to find ways to get him involved. I think the Packers tried putting him in the backfield and running the reverse and trying to work the ball to Randall, but you gotta get him involved, and we've gotta get Devontae back in rhythm. Or the passing game is gonna continue to struggle, I think.
Yeah, it was interesting to see Randall Cobb. There was a moment last night where he kinda looked at the sideline and he was like, "Get me the football." And the Packers tried to an extent, but he was being taken away as well. So Luke, I hope everything works out the way you said it did. Hopefully next time we talk, a month from now, we'll be talking about a victory. It'll be under better circumstances. But thank you so much for coming on the show, providing your insight, and looking forward to it in times to come.
Brian, I appreciate it. I love talking Packers football. So appreciate the opportunity, man.
Sounds good. We'll talk to you later, Luke. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Brian.
Luke Rogers, 24/7 Sports Insider, joining us here on the show on a Monday morning. Like I said, wish it could be under better circumstances, but we continue to dissect a Packers loss to the Denver Broncos on national television last night. As we continue on with the show with our next segment,
Packers news of the day.
We may have to keep this rather brief. I apologize if you... the timing probably couldn't be worse. At the Railbird Central Studios, we're getting our furnace replaced today. And so you may hear some construction noises, some hammering, some drilling in the background. And if that gets overbearing, we may have to keep this short. But at least I think we provided you with over a half hour worth of analysis from Luke Rogers. And that alone was probably worth the price of admission to today's show. So if we got to keep off my 2 cents here, my analysis, if we got to kick me off, that'll be all right. But I just briefly wanted to talk about we kind of use the post-game chips report published at 24/7 Sports as our roadmap for some analysis of the previous day's game. And I want to do that here. And it seems a little bit weird because, the chips report is static. It stays the same. 2 blue chips, 2 red chips, 2 cow chips. It was rather slim pickings in the positive category from last night's game. But the people we had as blue chip performers was, first of all, linebacker Clay Matthews. And we already talked about this a little bit with Luke Rogers. But, I think when you look, you really saw what the Packers could be missing when Clay Matthews is out of the football game, as he briefly had to exit there with a minor ankle injury. In last night's game, and in comes Joe Thomas, and all of a sudden Joe Thomas comes in the game and they give up a long touchdown as he kind of over pursued a little bit. And, he had to take on an offensive lineman. That's not exactly his forte, is kind of an undersized inside linebacker. So that was a little bit scary proposition when Clay Matthews, came out of the game and thank goodness he was able to, you could see that spatting around his ankle that they put on, and he was able to come back in, and that's great. And he was one of the few people that was able to actually put a pass rush on Peyton Manning. You could argue maybe not enough of a pass rush, but of the 3 quarterback hits on the night, Clay Matthews made 2 of them. He really put a hit on Peyton Manning at one point when Manning carried out a run fake, which was great to see. And it kind of was a situation where they probably, were sending a message to the Broncos, this is what's going to happen if you run that again. And I'm not sure I ever did see the Broncos run that again. So that seemed to work. And Clay Matthews having one nice, tackle for a loss early in the second half. I believe it was on C.J. Anderson. That was really nice. So Clay Matthews, you didn't have to worry about him in Sunday night's game. The other blue chip performances, and if you go to 24/7 Sports and read our chips report, it says Mason Crosby, which is fine. What I probably should have done was give it to the kind of split it between the specialists. I should have put both Mason Crosby and Tim Mastey, punter Tim Mastey, in the same category. Special teams, I suppose, was probably the best Packers unit on Sunday evening, because there was almost no fault you could be found on special teams, and unfortunately it was defense and offense that was the meltdown for the Green Bay Packers. But Mason Crosby hits a 54-yard field goal with ton of room to spare. And, yeah, he's probably aided by the thin air there at Mile High Stadium. But, just absolutely nails it dead center and has 3 out of 4 kickoffs go for touchbacks. And the one, kickoff that didn't, only returned for 13 yards. So, great night for Mason Crosby. Tim Mastey, he averaged something like 46 yards per punt. His net was 43. These were, his best game of the year by far. Pinned him inside the 20 once, I believe. Didn't have any touchbacks. And certainly helped by a very good coverage unit. If you're looking at the biggest improvement on this Packers, team, the entire team in 2015, it may be their special teams coverage units, both kickoff coverage and punt coverage. They are leaps and bounds better than they were a year ago, which is so, so nice to see. But you know, Tim Maste and Mason Crosby doing their part. There's your blue chip performers. Your red chips are running back Eddie Lacy, who had a nice evening. I think he put some of those doubts to rest about his weight. And again, you know, it wasn't his best game ever. I think he only had 38 yards or whatever it was. He chipped in, took one pass for 9 yards in the passing game. But, you know, his touchdown was fantastic. I mean, that was a highlight reel play on the touchdown because he bulldozed, I believe, his, you know, Broncos linebacker Brandon Marshall on his way to the end zone. Just ran him over, put the shoulder down and ran him over and got the job done. So you know, for Eddie Lacy to put all that criticism behind him, I think it's a good thing. Maybe not all the criticism, but you know, I never thought it was an issue to begin with, which we talked about on the last episode of the show, kind of in our preview for this Broncos game. But I think Eddie Lacy sent a message that, you know, this isn't a big deal. And you know, especially like, I think it was his first carry of the game, goes for like 15 yards or something like that. He really exploded with the ball. The weight is not an issue, folks. And Eddie Lacy, I think, kind of helped prove that last night. Dayton Jones was your other red chip performer. And perhaps the Packers have to get him more involved. I think I saw him play 18 snaps and you know, obviously they don't want him on the field a ton in run situations. They see him more as a pass rusher, but you know, there was a series in the second quarter of the game in which Dayton Jones had tackles on back-to-back plays in the run game, including that really, they came on a second down and a third down and they went for a loss of negative one. So tackle for a loss and then followed that up with a tackle for no gain. And it limited the Broncos to a field goal, a long field goal, 50 yarder, I believe at that point. And that in addition to a tackle later in the game, you really saw some good play out of Dayton Jones and something to build on. And something that kind of continued a streak of solid play for him, you know, going back now a couple of weeks, Dayton Jones is just, you know, he's suspended the first game of the season. It's like every week he's just been on an upward trend since that time. It's like he comes back week two and just simply getting out on the field and playing, I think, was a step in the right direction. But then you go after that and he starts coming up with a sack and, you know, he starts having good plays, tackles for a loss, things like that. It's just getting better every week, which is great to see. That's what you wanted to see all along from this first round draft choice. It was kind of underwhelming up to this point. So Dayton Jones playing great. Your cow chip performers from Sunday night, the worst of the worst. And on another night, maybe Aaron Rodgers could have made this category. It was obviously one of the worst games of his career. But I think there was two players that were almost more at fault for last night's loss, I guess. And the fact that I don't think Aaron Rodgers got a lot of help from his receiving core and at times his offensive line played okay. They weren't good. But at times they weren't bad either. Just, you know, okay offensive line. Anyway, as I digress here, getting to the worst of the worst performances, Casey Hayward, and you know, poor Casey Hayward, he got better as the night went on. Okay, first of all, the reason he's in the cow chip category, I saw it at, go to ProFootballFocus.com. They've already got the article up this morning. He gave up over 130 yards passing last night, which is a career high. And of course, you know, he several times allowed Demaryius Thomas to basically erupt on the Packers defense. Demaryius Thomas had over, I think the number was 168 yards receiving on the night. And Casey Hayward was kind of the primary culprit. Not that he was the only one that was getting beat, but he was the primary culprit. One of the worst games of his career. It's unfortunate because, you know, Casey Hayward ends up breaking up three passes on the night, But I mean, that means so little when you give up 130 yards yourself. That's not, you know, the whole entire Packers secondary. That's you giving up 130 yards alone last night, which was embarrassing if you're Casey Hayward. And he was not helped by injuries. You thought early in the game, you know, they put him out there. He's the more veteran guy instead of Demaryius Randall's coming off the ankle injury, so he's kind of limited there. He's a rookie. So they, you know, of course give Casey Hayward the start on the perimeter. And he gets beat a few times, and you think, well, maybe the Packers are going to wise up here and put him at the slot instead, put Demaryius Randall out there. But all of a sudden, Sam Shields gets hurt, and it's not like an option anymore. And then Quentin Rollins gets hurt on top of that, and the Packers now, their depth at cornerback is gone. They can't do anything but keep, you know, Casey Hayward out on the perimeter of the field and continuing to cover Demaryius Randall. And that's unfortunate. And I think the Packers here, maybe, you know, once they get healthy, they're unfortunately, you know, not in a position to make any changes now. But they may be in a situation where your three best cornerbacks are Sam Shields and the two rookies, Demaryius Randall and Quentin Rollins. And it's maybe Casey Hayward as your dime cornerback. I think it's Micah Hyde as your top backup slot and top backup safety, but not a guy who should be out there, you know, full time like he was last night. Micah Hyde played every... He led the team in snaps, I believe, was out there every single play, and probably shouldn't be doing that. He shouldn't be a full-time player. He's an okay player in his own right, but he doesn't have speed, and neither does Casey Hayward. Both those guys, you know, they were picked on by Peyton Manning because they see, you know, that basically that their lack of speed. It was the cure for Peyton Manning's noodle arm. Two guys who, even if they wanted, couldn't catch up to a floating pass. You know, the Packers got to get healthy, got to get Sam Shields, Quentin Rollins back, because if those guys are healthy, they may be two of the best Packers cornerbacks, along with Demaryius Randall, who Randall got beat several times, made up for it a little bit by grabbing interception and late in the game and giving the Packers maybe a glimmer of hope at the time. But maybe that's all it was a glimmer. But yeah, Casey Hayward, not a good, and Nate Palmer, probably even worse just because Nate Palmer from a talent standpoint is about your 53rd player on the roster. And it was a little bit unfortunate because I thought he played maybe his best game of the year, the previous week against the San Diego Chargers, in which he had a career high 10 tackles. And it's not like they were tackles for a loss or anything like that. But what Nate Palmer did, I think, is what he played to the ceiling of his ability, maybe against the San Diego Chargers, just in that he looked pretty good in space. He made solid tackles, didn't miss a lot of tackles. And maybe that's what you can only expect from a player of his caliber. But he gets exposed in Sunday night's game against the Broncos. He gets exposed in both phases of the game. Owen Daniels has a big gain on him. A few plays later, Nate Palmer misses a tackle on C.J. Anderson. Just one of a few tackles he missed on the night. Temporarily gets pulled in favor of Jake Ryan, but they put, you know, Nate Palmer back out there. But still, just doesn't have it. Just as a second rate, you know, backup caliber linebacker that the Packers somehow going to have to figure out how to, you know, have him out on the field as little as possible. Not to say, you know, he isn't worthy of a roster spot, but it's, you know, one of those guys who shouldn't be playing, you know, except as a backup, or, you know, if injury calls, then he steps into the game. Or a guy who should be playing primarily on special teams. That's his calling card, I think. And maybe it means going to Jake Ryan with a bigger role. And you know, maybe it's time for that. You know, Jake Ryan was kind of dealing with an injury earlier in the year he missed a week, but he's healthy now, so he should be fine. Maybe that's where the Packers go going forward. There was any number of cow chips. I mean, you name it. Again, almost everybody was at fault at some point, and you could certainly make the case Aaron Rodgers was, you know, cow chip caliber. You know, James Jones, most of the Packers wide receivers, James Jones has one catch on the night for a handful of yards. Davante Adams didn't look good in his return to the field. Richard Rodgers was at fault for Aaron Rodgers' fumble. And you know, Richard Rodgers can't do anything after the catch. His yak is extremely low, awfully low. It's a shame, but there you go, folks. There's your analysis of last night's game using the Chips Report as our roadmap. And one final segment here, and a brief one.
The day ahead.
In the world of the Green Bay Packers this Monday, talk show circuit time. Packers going to have to rehash this victory for one more day, and they would probably rather not have to do that. But as the talk show circuit machine doesn't stop for a Packers loss. These things are scheduled way ahead of time, but I just know some of the, if you want to monitor the media and hear from these Packers players, if you're a glutton for punishment and want to hear more on this Packers loss, who are some of the guests? Nate Palmer is the guest on the fifth quarter on WTAQ Radio, WTAQ.com. I believe Randall Cobb is the co-host on Inside the Huddle on Fox 11 in Green Bay. David Bakhtiari is the co-host. His guest is rookie fullback Aaron Ripkowski, who kind of played a role with the first string offense for, is it the first time of his career? Perhaps the first time in his career. Anyway, they're on Clubhouse Live. That's streamed live at Packers.com, 6:30 p.m. on Monday evening. Even though the show doesn't air until Tuesday, Clay Matthews is the guest on Packers Live with Larry McCarron on Monday night. They tape live in front of a live studio audience. If you're in the Green Bay area, you could be a part of that inside the Lambeau Field atrium, fourth floor, Associated Bank Club level, Monday evening, 6:30 p.m. So all sorts of shows. TJ Lang, offensive lineman, co-host In the Huddle on WHBY. Radio in the Fox Cities area. So there's more than ample opportunity to hear from Packers players on the day after a loss. Like I said, if you're a glutton for punishment and at least, you know, maybe if you want to hear them talk about how they move on and how they go from here, that there's your silver lining to hear how they move on from the loss. Because, you know, it, like I said, I don't take any pride in that. You know, I predict the Packers to lose or anything like that, but you just know they weren't going to go undefeated. It doesn't mean anything. You know, the New England Patriots last year lost plenty of games, and maybe not plenty, but they lost during the regular season. It didn't stop them at all from winning the Super Bowl, and it happens every year. You know, teams just don't, you know, go undefeated during the regular season. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen, and they can still go on to win the Super Bowl. So, you take it for what it is. You take it as a learning opportunity. You move on, and the Packers will try to do that here. But that'll conclude today's show. Thank you, everybody, so much for joining us. Thank you to 24/7 Sports Insider Luke Rogers for joining us on the show. We're glad to have him and talk some football here on a Monday morning. And we'll be doing that, like I said, monthly engagement for him. First Monday of every month, we'll be talking to Luke Rogers, recapping some games. So we'll hear from him early in December after the Packers' next game, next month's game. We'll see you later, folks. Have a good Monday. We'll see you again on Wednesday. Nathan Yonke of ProFootballFocus.com will be our usual Wednesday guest after the bye week. He'll be back, so we'll see you then. My call to action, if you've not done so already, please, I ask you, give us a rating on iTunes. It's the one small thing we ask. This show is free of charge, no subscription, no paywall. So the one small thing, give us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate a rating, a review, what have you, whatever. And we'll see you in 2 days, folks. We'll see you. I was going to say enjoy your day. It's going to be hard to enjoy it after a loss, but have a day. Pass some time until next show. I leave you today with a song called Valley of the Jig by the String Cheese Incident on Psy Fidelity Records. See ya. Go Pack Go.